These are words that in some ways don't really fit with this time of year. I think when you hear these words, you'll know what I mean. Beginning at verse 2. You have enlarged the nation. When Isaiah says you, he's talking about God. You've increased their joy, and they rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. God, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. For to us this day a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What are the things that Jesus cares about? Or, here's another question. What are the things you care about? Now, if you are someone who identifies as being Christian, if you are someone who says, I'm a Christ follower, you need to compare what you care about with what Jesus cared about. Because the Bible says we are to have the same mindset as Jesus. So if you're a Christian person, you need to know what Jesus cared about and then compare it to what you care about, because we're supposed to have the same mindset as Jesus. What does Jesus care about? Well, every time we enter into this sanctuary, we talk about and we pray about what Jesus cares about. And then we go home and we look at what we care about and we see how the two compare. It's good to care about something. It's good to be passionate about something. Have you ever had a time in your life, everybody has, when you're just really passionate about something? And it just gives you like energy and joy, and you just feel, you get out of bed easily in the morning, passionate. Have you ever had a time of your life where you don't have that, and you just don't really care about anything? Have you ever, people say, what do you care about? You're kind of like, no. Care about anything, not your deal. But when you care about something, it's just like having a rocket strapped to your back. What did Jesus care about? What was his passion? When I was a student, I lived at a frat house for a summer, Kappa Alpha Lodge in London, on the campus of Western, on John Street. It was a huge old building, and there was nothing in the entire building that could be broken. Nothing. Four stories with nothing that could be broken. And I stayed there just for one summer with a bunch of other guys, and I used to sit and play my guitar whenever I could in my room with the door shut. And guys would come and say, hey, we're going to the Richmond Hotel for, why don't you come out with us, we're going to here. And I said, no, I just want to sit and play my guitar. And I used to just, and I think they just thought, they didn't know what to think about me, just kind of antisocial, a little bit strange. Because I would just, that's all I wanted to do was just sit and play and sing in my room with the door shut. That was my passion. And I just remember the energy that I had from that. I remember how I felt in my heart because I had that passion. What's your passion? What do you like? What do you care about? And if you identify as Christian, you have to compare that to what Jesus cared about. What about this? This is something people are kind of amped up about this week. This is a passion of it. And you have to be really careful, I learned, because I don't really have that passion. But if other people do, you have to be careful what you say. Baby, what's the baby?
Archie.
Like you didn't know that. People are passionate about that. People are passionate about Harry in particular. Look at that young woman. Does she look passionate to you? Well, some people like Megan too. We love you, Megan, that sign says. Right underneath that sign, you can't read it. It says, Harry's all right too. Look at the look on that girl's face. She's like amped up about something. Like she really cares. Look at the energy. What do you care about? What about this one? This is a big deal this week. This is a big deal tonight for some people. That's Drake. Drake's the biggest Raptors fan in the world. That's Drake at whatever they call it. It's not the ACC anymore. He's just cheering on the Raptors. Game 7 tonight. 20,000 people will be there, amped up. They really care about the Raptors winning, don't they? What do you care about? Someone made the comment, there are migrants by the thousands every single day. Walking hundreds of miles from Guatemala and El Salvador into the state of Texas. And there is flooding that is like flooding that's never happened before. Flooding of biblical proportions because of climate change all over the world. Human trafficking is a huge problem in Canada right now. Human trafficking. The basketball and the royal baby were on the front page of both the National Post and the Globe and Mail. Not too many days ago. Now, I'm not wet toweling any of that. I'm really not. I mean, it's good to have fun. I mean, I care about stuff like that. You care about stuff like that. But it begs the question. Like, what are the things that we're really passionate about? What are the things that we really should be caring about? And Jesus cared about certain things. And Jesus just looks at you and says, look, if you're going to be my follower, you need to care about the same things I care about. It's just that simple. Like, what about our families? We honor mothers today for giving up so much for their children. That's their passion, and we honor them and we remember them today. But Jesus looks at parents who honor their own children, and Jesus said, I love that you love your own children, but what I want you to do is I want you to love your neighbor's children, because that's what I really care about. I care about your kids, but I care about your neighbor's kids if they don't have enough to do or enough to eat or they don't have money to go to camp. Nelson Mandela said, an average person loves their own kids. An average person. That's true. I think we could all agree with that. He said, a good person loves their neighbor's kids. A saint loves the children of the world. And Jesus is saying, I love the children of the world. And if you're going to be my follower, I want you to care about that too. I love that you love your own kids. And sometimes it's easier not to have a passion. Jesus said, look, if you decide to care about what I care about, it's not going to be easy. Over and over, Jesus said, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a cost. Like, I mean, you think about human trafficking. Like, if you really cared deeply about the issue of human trafficking, and you knew that it happened every single day in this country, your heart would be just broken. Like, how could your heart not be broken knowing that that actually happens? It's just a lot easier not to care, isn't it? Like, what about, like, young people who are isolated for some reason and don't have any community and have to read social media and all this stuff, and they just spend all their lives by themselves because they don't fit in for whatever reason? It's heartbreaking. It's so much easier just not to care. Jesus said, look, you got to have a passion for what I have a passion of. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But what I will tell you is this, Jesus said, it will also save your life. And it will give your life the meaning and the deeper joy that you are so thirsty for. It won't be easy, but if you take that passion, it'll change your life. So what did Jesus, here's just what I wanted to, I'm going to get Drake off of there. I forgot Drake was still on there. That's better. What did Jesus care about, and why did he care about it? Jesus was taught as he was growing up in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a backwoods town that people made fun of. When Jesus grew to be well-known, and even some people at that time considered him to be the Son of God, people made fun of him because he was from Nazareth. They said, what good could come out of Nazareth? Well, Jesus grew up in this little town, and he was taught certain things. And what Jesus was taught formed the things he cared about. And what Jesus was taught was the prophets. It was the prophets that we have in our Bible, which is an incredible thing, that you can open up your Bible and have exactly the same scripture that Jesus had. Jesus grew up on Isaiah. He grew up on Ezekiel. He grew up on Jeremiah. He grew up on Micah. All these things that are in our Bible. And the message of the prophet taught Jesus to care about what he cared cares about.
It's the message of the prophet.
Okay, so what is the message of the prophet? One of the first things that Jesus does when he accepts this call, he resists the voice of the devil in the wilderness. I don't know if you know that story. Then he goes back to Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue, which was like his church, and he takes the scroll. That words, the scripture was written on scrolls, and he read at the synagogue the scroll, and he read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed. Those are the words that Jesus read. Those aren't Jesus' words. Those are Isaiah's words. And when Jesus took that scroll in front of all the people that he knew, in front of people that got baptized with him, and in front of his friends and the people he went to school with, when he read those words from Isaiah, what he was saying was that I identify with that tradition. And that I'm coming back to you to let you know that I am now a prophet. And the message of the prophet is what I'm going to care about. It's going to build up the traditions that I care about. That's why he read those words. So what's the prophets and what was their message? Two things, really simple. This is what built Jesus up, and this is what he grew to care about. And it's the message of the prophets. What did they care about? Here's the first part of the prophet's message. This is what I read. Unto us a child is born. Why would God send a child into the world? Like back in the day, the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Egyptians believed in multiple gods. The prophets were the first people to teach that there was only one God. Why would God send a child into the world who will be called Wonderful Counselor and Almighty God? Emmanuel. Because God loves you. That's why. The first message of the prophet is that God loves you. That God knit you together in your mother's womb. That God created you in his image. That there is nowhere that you can go that is separate from God's love for you. That there is a presence that is with you that comes up alongside and helps you. And abides deep in your heart and gives you hope for the future. That God is with you in such a way that when you leave this life and go through this open door into the next life, God will be there welcoming you. This is the first message of the prophets. And it was the first thing that Jesus cared about. The thing that Jesus cared about most was communicating to people that God loves you. Now, I grew up in the church, and I've heard that God loves me all my life. But I hear consistently from people who will come to a church and sit and hear that message. And they will say to me, I just got emotional because I have never heard that before, because I grew up not hearing that somebody loved me. My dad, I don't know if my dad ever loved me. My mom never said she. And they go to it and they hear that God loves you and God created you in his image and that God has a plan for your life. If you just find a way to trust God, God will unfold this plan. People just have never heard that before, and it impacts them. And that was the first message of Jesus. And it was the message of the prophet, and it was the prophet's passion to communicate this love of God for people. Here's the second thing that gets to the heart of the prophet's message. The prophets worked hard to communicate to people to keep the relationship alive. Do you know what it's like to kind of know something and then forget it? Or do you know what it's like to have a relationship and then lose it? Do you know what it's like to maybe have known the love of God at some point in your life and then kind of forget about it? The prophet said, keep it alive, don't let it go. There's so many things in your life that can sever it. There's worry and uncertainty and illness and all these things that can sever that. And they just said, keep it alive. My dad had a best friend. He went to Knox College with him. Knox College is the Presbyterian school where people go to learn to be ministers in the Presbyterian Church. My dad met Ken Wilson when he was at seminary in Toronto in the 1950s. For 35 years, they phoned each other every month. Never missed. They kept that relationship alive. They worked at it because the relationship was so precious to them. And as a kid, I saw the value in that. Even when I was little, it was like, oh, my dad just is so happy when he talks to Ken. Keep it alive. That's the prophet's message. There's a passage from Ezekiel where Ezekiel, who's a prophet, has a vision of a valley that's filled with dry bones, dried up old bones. And the old bones in that story are to represent the people of God. And they're all dried up. And they're all dead because they have forgotten about who God is. And in that story, there's this refrain, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And the Spirit of God passes over the valley of dried up old bones. And the bones resurrect and come back to life in this vision. Because the people finally again heard the word of God. And they were resurrected. The prophet just said, keep it alive. Do what you can to keep your relationship with God alive. God loves you. God is like the perfect parent. I think I have a picture of something I gave to you. See if I can bring this up. Ah. Gave Kimberly some roses for Mother's Day. But here's why I tell you that. Because it reminded me of a couple of years ago when I gave Kimberly roses for her birthday, which was in August. And they were beautiful. And we put them on the table. And then we went camping for a week. And we got back, well, it was like 5 or 6 days. We got back, and they were just all dried up and withered. Beautiful bouquet of red roses. They were all dried up, all withered. And I said, well, that's too bad. And I grabbed them ready to put them in the compost. And Kimberly said, wait a second. They don't have any water. Just give them some water. They'll resurrect. I said, no, pray. We put water on them within an hour. They were roses again. Keep it alive. Like water is a symbol of the Spirit of God. And the prophets say, if you just ask that the Spirit of God be with you, there will be a relationship with your Creator that will change your life. So keep it alive. Last thing. There are two reasons why we need to keep our relationship with God alive, and it's not just about us. Well, the first part is about us. If we don't, there's a sadness. You don't want to get to the end of your life and look back and just be filled with regret that you didn't keep that alive. But it's not just about us. What Jesus read from Isaiah, let's see if I can bring, there it is. Look. We are called to preach good news to the poor. We are called, all of us, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed. The prophet said, and this is what influenced Jesus, and this is what Jesus cared about so much, if you don't keep the relationship with God alive, you're not going to care about them. It's not just about you. It's not just about you being sad or you not having abundant life or all these things that are just affect you as an individual. If you forget about who God is, you're not going to care about the poor. That was so important to the prophets. That was their passion. That's what Jesus cared so much about. It's a consequence of forgetting about who God is. And so, go home today and ask yourself what your passion is. And we all have fun things. I love the Leafs. I've been passionate about the Leafs for a long time, but I'm never going to give that hope up. The day I die. And so you know, you love baby Archie. Yeah. Sorry. We're called to feed the poor. We're called to remember who God is, not just for our sake, but because we're called to feed the poor. And if we remember the love of God, we're going to remember the love of the neighbor's kids. And we're going to remember the love of the world. And I am so proud and honored to be a part of a church who has done that for many, many years. I've been here for a good number of years. And this church has always responded to that call. And if you are here for the first time, anybody here who attends, and I can make a list of all the things we do for people around us, we've responded to that call. And that must mean we have kept the relationship alive. Thanks be to God.